listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
The world's greatest podcast network.
Hey everybody, it's Jess Harnell, the voice of Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, because you know what's good.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, in the north, our punk pixie who must prove her identity to the state, Ms. Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird, Jeff Bell.
Show us your papers. We would like to seize your papers.
No, so I filed my taxes already because, let's be honest. All right, my mom had a career with IRS and has done my taxes my entire life. I've never actually done my own taxes.
Fair. And
she actually now just buys TurboTax. So, yeah, you know, but she does my taxes for me, whatever. And I mailed off my state because I never pay to e-file with the state because it makes me mad. And I got a letter the other day from the state of Utah that I have to prove who I am. And I can either take this online quiz that's going to ask me a bunch of questions about like my previous year's taxes and stuff, or I can mail in a copy of my ID and my W-2s, I think is what it was. But if I don't do these things, they will just not give me my refund at any point. So I think that's a little... I don't like it. It makes me feel like the state is trying to keep my money.
Well,
I mean, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
But I don't like it.
How else do you think we pay for all these papers inspectors?
This is how we pay for it. Yeah, I just did my taxes this weekend because I use TurboTax. Therefore, I must wait for a payday so that I can pay the exorbitant fee I have to pay.
Right.
One thing I can praise about TurboTax is as I was doing my taxes, it said, oh, you paid employees. You need to file these 1099s. You were supposed to do that in January. I'm like,
oh, yeah. No.
Whoops. And they said, go over here and file them. And if the IRS accepts them, you should be okay. So I filed 2 1099 miscellaneous, because that's all I've ever gotten are 1099 miscellaneouses for side jobs.
Right.
They were saying it needed to be a 1099 NA, but then they didn't give me one, or whatever it is, 1099 N something.
Yeah.
They didn't give me that option, but they gave me 1099 miscellaneous. And I filed those, and I warned Laurie at least that, you know, if you've already filed, she goes, I already did, but I usually just put it down in a way that it shouldn't be a problem. I'm like, well, the amount's going to match, so I don't think the IRS is going to have a problem. Not to mention they don't have anybody working there right now.
Right, like they've got bigger fish to fry than you guys right
now. Yeah, so
sure.
It's not a big deal. But yeah, we got it. I got it. But it was nice that was available, because when I went looking for any way to do it that wasn't a fucking pain in my ass, I couldn't find anything. And then they were like, oh, you can do it right here for free. I'm like, oh, well, not for free, because, you know, I paid $180 to file my taxes, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That was fun. But yeah, it's all done. All done. Moving
nice.
On.
Nice.
Moving on from taxes.
This has been boring grown-up talk.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us.
This is Adulting 101. I'm sorry about that.
No.
I remember what my taxes were. Here's my W-2. Here's a paper form. Go down, fill it out. Oh, look. I get money back. Wrap it up, mail it off, get a check in a couple of weeks, and I'm done. And then when it became TurboTax, it was like, this is all free. Do all this for free. And then I went and complicated my life. You know?
That is true. I mean, you do have no one to blame but yourself.
Well, I could blame those who would not pay me my value. Therefore, I had to find other work in order to subsidize my income. Otherwise, you know, I'd be happy to do everything for free if I was getting
That's
paid
true.
Millions of dollars for one job. But yeah, Such is the life of somebody who wants to be their own boss in a way. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
I do it every year, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're the king of the side. You've been the king of the side gig since.
Yep.
Even back when I was just like, here's my W-2, here's my tax form, go. You know?
You've been king of the side gig since side gigs were invented. Good job.
Yeah.
It really is.
I have really been abused by the 1099 system.
It is an abusive system, I found. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely abusive system.
It's like, here is some paperwork that's going to make your refund smaller and smaller and smaller until it disappears entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aw, that's sad.
Yeah, this year I'm really upset about it.
No.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. It just fucking sucks.
Yeah. Fair. Taxes suck, but they are necessary evil.
Fuck up with the payroll system that they weren't taking out my withholding.
Oh. All year. Ouch.
And
all year.
Ouch.
Since everything's fucking digital and direct deposit, I don't see
these
shit.
You're paying attention to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. I don't check my pay stub every payday.
Nope.
Ooh.
Only when it's short.
I count on my employer to do it right, and unfortunately, when that happens, then all they can do is shrug and say sorry.
That's what happened.
Yeah, but
it wasn't. It was ADP's fault.
Yeah.
So
still.
Yeah.
Well, and I've been down that road with ADP, but
yeah, they're the worst.
I've had ADP before. Yeah. I worked for a startup that used ADP. And they specialize in retail businesses, so yeah. Anyway, fun with taxes. It was fun writing off everything.
Oh, I bet.
I've kept every receipt for every comic book I've bought because that's all research material at this point.
Nice. 100%
research material. I wrote off $700 in comic books, over $700 in comic books for last year. So yeah.
Very nice.
And I have a legitimate business to write it off for. Not just, you know, because it gives me pleasure, but I actually study these books when I read them.
Fair.
Yeah. Oh, well, anything else this week, guys, that's been fun or not fun? Or I already broke my bad fun for you guys, so I won't bore the, I won't irritate the listeners with it, but yeah.
No, I can't complain. I had the week off, so that, you know.
You really can't complain.
I can't complain one bit. My only thing that I can complain about, and it looks much better today, was that I spent the day in the hammock on Thursday when the weather was so beautiful, but forgot to reapply my sunscreen and fell asleep. And so, like I said, it looks much, much better today. But yesterday I was like bright red, like a tomato. It was awful. So.
You don't got that kind of skin, woman.
I know. No, I get every year I get one burn. I burn once every year. But then once I burn once, I'm good for the whole rest of the year. So I won't sunburn my face again all summer long. It's great. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Meanwhile, Jeff, our soulless ginger, must avoid the sun at all costs.
It was fun though when your family was teasing you about getting your sunburn. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we stopped into the shop to pick up books, and between my mini me and my mother, they are kind of brutal, man. Well, it is no wonder I have self esteem issues.
Aw.
And then Jeff comments on how short we are. So, it was a one-two punch.
Look, okay. So I sit down in a chair. Right?
It's true.
And I look across the counter, and I'm looking Jocelyn right in the eye. And then I just start looking around, and I'm like, I can't reach anything from here. I'm like, how do you people do this? How do you do this?
Yeah, I think the comment was, how do you people live like this? Because, like, seriously, like, it's, if anybody, if you guys have, if you see my pictures on social media, or you know me, or you've seen me out and about with my mother and my mini me, I'm not kidding. We are like, if you photocopied something, mm-hmm. and you could add my grandma into the mix too,
yeah,
when she was alive. But like, seriously, you know what I'm going to look like in 20 years, because it's going to be just like my mother looks now. It's great.
World's strongest gene pool, right there.
Seriously, it is like
DNA will destroy the donor, the additional donor RNA. We are going to take this over. Yeah,
it's true. But like, right down to like our height and everything, it's mm-hmm. the weirdest. I don't know that it's weird, but it's hilarious to me. So, I always apologize to my mini me. I'm like, I'm so sorry, because this is what you got. Sorry. Yeah, but no, having a week off is always just delightful and fun. And I mean, we did a few fun things. We went out, we saw the Spiral Jetty one day, and we did a cake decorating class yesterday. That was hilariously fun. So
I can imagine you can currently see the entire jetty right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, you have been able to for years. I took the kids up there 5 years ago about this same time of year, and it was mm-hmm. totally exposed. The thing that's shocking is how far you have to walk out to hit the lake now, because mm-hmm. it is far.
It has receded a lot. Far. And it's funny because we went and saw, what's her name? She was the voice of Violet in The Incredibles and does a history, writes history books and stuff. Jeff and I went and saw her speak a few years ago, and she talked about coming out to Salt Lake to go to see the Spiral Jetty, and it was completely underwater. And she and her friends basically walked out and basically formed a human version of the Spiral Jetty by following along it until they, you know, linking arms until they'd all gone out there. Hmm. She talked about that, and I thought that was such an interesting idea. But now I'm like, you wouldn't have any problems getting out there. In fact, you'd wonder, why is this jetty here and not out by the lake?
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. But it's been exposed for a few years, at least. I know that mm-hmm. much.
Yep. This is true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've taken enough time. Let's dive into some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
You're going to have to do the heavy lifting on this one because I'm locked behind the paywall. But June Brown, actress who played Dot Cotton on EastEnders and also was in Doctor Who. Your turn.
She did in one of the serials for John Pertwee's Doctor Who back in the early 70s. She was it was one of the first ones where he got to travel. You know, where he wasn't just stuck in England and he had Sarah Jane with him. So it was kind of cool. But yeah, no, she got on EastEnders. And for those who aren't familiar with EastEnders, think of All My Children or General Hospital. I mean, it is like one of the long running, effectively soap operas on British television, EastEnders. And Dot Cotton was this super religious, chain smoking, you know, keeping up appearances level woman, you know, middle class all the way. The whole thing about EastEnders is nobody's posh. It's not upstairs, downstairs.
Right.
It's all middle class. And it was just, she made that role hers and was beloved. And she was actually on EastEnders up until, I think, 2020.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because she was how old?
95.
Wow.
So she was on EastEnders until she was 93, at least. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's her heart.
Yeah. Still playing Dot Cotton. I'm like, that's a hell of a thing. That's a hell of a thing. So.
One hell of a thing.
Yep. And she was from Scotland, so, you know.
Well, of course.
All about that. Yeah.
All right, we're going into a case that he said, she said.
I think it's somebody said, and then somebody said to the press, and somebody said, God damn it.
You don't take positions against a family.
Exactly.
Not in the middle of a takeover by Discovery.
WB pauses Flash star Ezra Miller's DCEU future due to his recent behavior. The Flash and Fantastic Beasts, Secrets of Dumbledore star Ezra Miller may or may not have a future in the DCEU or even the Wizarding World, as Warner Brothers executives have met over the actor's repeated violent behavior. Rolling Stone's reporting the WB execs held an emergency meeting on March 30th to discuss the recent arrest of their repeatedly problematic actions. According to the outlet's sources, the consensus in the room was to hit pause on any future projects involving Miller, including possible appearances in the DC Cinematic Universe. Last-minute meeting followed a pair of incidents while the actor was in Hawaii, which we've covered on this show. And holy shit, was this little fucker out of line.
Yeah.
We do not threaten to murder people.
And when you think about this, is Warner Brothers doing this? And is this really any different than ABC's stance against Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
Back in the day. It really is.
No. I don't feel the least bit bad. No, that's not a lie. I feel a little bad for Ezra Miller. Mm-hmm. Not because he's facing the consequences of his actions, though. Yeah. Like, I feel like he made these choices, and now these are your consequences. That's how the world works. Mm-hmm. I feel bad because I feel like there is an underlying something going on with Ezra Miller that he needs to get addressed. Because, yeah.
Would you say maybe a psychological issue?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. He needs some real help.
The boy needs a real intervention and then help for whatever it is that's
right.
Yeah.
Like that's what I feel bad about. He needs some help.
But wait.
And at the very least, he needs to cut back his drinking because he's not a good drunk.
No.
That's all. We have learned that.
There's more.
Oh, there's more. Oh,
the
sorry.
The WB refutes the report of the high-level meeting to pause Ezra Miller's DCEU.
Well, we never said anything like that now that we're getting sued by his manager and agent.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Reports about Warner Brothers holding an emergency meeting regarding the Flash star Ezra Miller appear to have been greatly exaggerated. A source at Warner Brothers told IGN that the meeting in question never actually took place, while also debunking the claims about Miller's DCEU future being in jeopardy at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay.
I don't know.
I'm at a loss, because, like, if they didn't have that, they maybe need to, though, because...
I don't think they had a formal meeting. I think somebody gathered in somebody's office and some people gathered in somebody's office and talked about the Ezra Miller problem. And then somebody leaked it to the press, which then caused them to backpedal and say, well,
we didn't have a meeting.
That wasn't a meeting. A meeting is when we go into the conference room. Yeah.
Yeah,
that
probably.
That wasn't a meeting. That was chit-chat.
Exactly. I mean, when you think of I compared it to ABC going after Charlie Sheen for his behavior, and yet they took a black eye for that, you know, because he was basically just being the character we loved him for, just in real life.
I don't know. I was with ABC on that one.
I was too, to be honest, but they did take a black eye for it, and they got bad press for it, and I think they're worried they're going to see that as well, so.
All right.
Ah, Playmates Toys. I remember a time when they produced the finest collectibles within the Star Trek universe. Well, who's up for a little deja vu? The continuum is spoken, and Playmates once again delivers a dazzling collection of action figures, starships, environments, and other collectible accessories to curious humans everywhere. Now, doesn't that sound like fun?
Hey.
Yes, it does.
I know that guy. He's currently insane as fuck on Picard.
Exactly.
Let's get him to sell some kids' toys. But the return of Playmates toys to Star Trek has now been introduced by actor John DeLancey. He is back as Q on Star Trek Picard for season 2, blah, blah, blah. You know all this because you're here listening.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I just wanted to play that. That's all.
I think it's, and I, you know, they didn't show any of the, he didn't, I, in the video, he doesn't really show any of the toys they're going to be doing because obviously they haven't modeled them yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are some starships I wouldn't mind picking up. Yeah.
I hope they're cool and not like Playmobil.
Right. I hope they're cool. Hope we get a cool new Enterprise. You know, just a single, I mean, just a single, you know, Playmates, you know, model of it would be great. I'd also like to get that Stargazer from Picard. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That ship was gorgeous. So, yeah.
Star Trek Lower Decks nominated for a Hugo Award.
As it should be.
As it should be. It's been nominated for Best Dramatic Presentation Short Form by the World Science and Fiction Science Fiction Society for 2022 Hugo Awards. Lower Decks is specifically nominated for Wej Duj, a daring episode written by Catherine Lynn, directed by Bob Suarez, that garnered Trek Movies Best of Star Trek for 2021. Lower Decks is going up against episodes from Wheel of Time, For All Mankind, Arcane, The Expanse, and Loki. Jesus. That is August Company.
It's an honor to be nominated.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wej Duj. Hey, that's it for the news.
But I like, you know, to hit that Wej Duj thing real fast, that one was where we got to see Lower Decks of all these other ships, and then they all sort of converged into one story. And that was fucking cool. You know, you got to see the Vulcan Lower Decks. You got to see, I remember the Pak-led Lower Decks. They were just more idiots down there in the Lower Decks. It was fun. It was a good episode. It was very funny, but it was also very unique in that we're not just going to show this Lower Decks on one ship, on the Cerritos. We're going to show Lower Decks on all these different ships. And it was such a clever idea. So that one, yes, absolutely deserves to be nominated for the Hugo. Yes, it does. We're going to take a little break. And speaking of TV and stuff, when we come back, we'll be talking TV and movies.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Wonder, wonder, wonder. We can share a love divine.
Hi, I'm Adrian Paul, and I'm listening to Hold 322, the world's greatest podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
You guys been watching on the TVs this week? That isn't Moon Knight.
That isn't Moon Knight? Are you kidding me? There was other stuff to watch? Just kidding. I watched an episode of Daredevil. That's real exciting since, you know, that series has only been out like 5 years or something. 6 years? 7 years?
Six or seven, yeah.
Six or seven. Still exciting.
It has to be at least six. I know that for a fact. So just doing my rewatch, and especially because it jumped over to Disney Plus, I want to make sure that I watch it there so that they'll keep letting me watch it, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes total sense.
Right. And then I found, and Jeff actually watched some of this too. Netflix has Blade, you guys.
All of
we
them.
We watched the first Blade movie last night. They have all three of them, and you watched all three, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I had him on in the background while I was doing work this week.
I've pointed this out before on the show, but I'll point it out again. Blade came out before X-Men.
Yes, it did.
And actually, I think before Daredevil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was the first Marvel movie that was made into something that we were like, wow, this is a really good movie. Because up until then, we had not had a good Marvel movie based on a Marvel comic book. And it was like, wow, this is really good. And it was because it is. It's a great movie.
No, I think it isn't.
It's not a great movie. No, I'll agree.
Age.
It's a movie.
I will die on this hill that it's a great movie.
It did not age well at all.
But it was still entertaining as hell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I watched every minute of it, enjoyed every minute of it.
Stephen Dorff eating the scenery was a delight.
Right, right. And I'll probably watch it again, too, because it was. It kicked off our comic book movies.
As a fan of the genre, and I'm not talking comic books, I'm talking the vampire movie genre.
Right.
Blade is an annual watch for me. And I at least Blade 1 and 3. Blade and Blade Trinity are the ones I watch every year, especially around Halloween. I've always been a fan of the vampire genre, and when it comes to vampire movies and stuff, there are a lot worse than this, I can tell you that.
That is true.
And there are worse vampires than Stephen Dorff and Donald Logue. Donald Logue was my favorite thing in that movie.
Isn't he so good? I did love him in that movie.
Oh, my God.
But so my problem with it, as I watched it last night, which I haven't actually watched Blade in years. I can't remember the last time I actually sat down and watched it. It, as a movie, didn't know what kind of a movie it wanted to be.
Right.
It didn't know if it wanted to be a horror or a comic book movie or where it was going. It was so all over the place. I was like, I am glad that it came out. I'm glad that I watched it again. I'm glad that it helped kick off our whole movies that we have now. But yeah, it's not a fantastic movie by any means.
But keep in mind, this movie also came out around the time of Buffy the Vampire Slayer on television.
True.
Was one of the number one shows, so they all sort of bled into each other, if you will, if you pardon the pun.
Now, in my humble opinion, with the caveat that both Parker Posey and Jessica Biel are in it, I think Blade 1 was better than Blade 3 story-wise.
Story-wise, yes.
But there is a line where Wesley Snipes and Dracula are facing off with one another. Yeah. And Wesley Snipes is like, "Not so fast, motherfucker." And then Dracula's all, "Motherfucker, I like that." And it's like,
he just did it so well, because it was like, you know, it was Legends of Tomorrow?
Captain Fire.
Captain Fire. He looks at him, and you just see going across his face. It's the very first time he's heard those two words put together in that way, and knows that it's an insult. And he's like, "Okay, I like that. That's cool," because he's actually Dracula, who's been woken up out of like a 1,000-year torpor, you know, 1,000-year sleep.
I think
the
thing that bummed me out about Blade 3, was how shitty Captain Fire is acting wise in Legends of Tomorrow.
Almost everything else.
In Prison Break and this movie, he did okay. Yeah. He was fine.
Yeah, we had first encountered him. There was this little Fox did this series that only lasted a season, but he was this guy who was a genius. It was called John Doe.
Yeah.
And he was a genius with complete amnesia. He had no idea why he was a genius. And he played that role. And we were like, "This guy's really good. He needs to do a lot more work. He's really good. He's really good at what he does." And then he does Prison Break. And we're like, "Well, you know, he kind of got this part. I don't know. He's not, you know," because Wentworth Miller really ran that show. And then Dominic Purcell is who we're talking about, by the way.
Right, right, right.
And then when he got The Flash and that, I'm like, "Oh, he's just showing scenery now. He's just fucking around. He doesn't give a shit." And it was true. But Dracula, but my favorite thing still of Blade Trinity, and the whole reason I love Blade Trinity, is simply Ryan Reynolds versus Parker Posey.
Yep.
Right.
That one scene is worth watching. I could watch the entire movie just to get to that one scene where the two of them are squaring off against each other, because it is so goddamn funny. Just so funny. And Blade 2, I mean, you got Hellboy. You know? What the hell? That's always fun to watch. So
there you go. Apparently, everybody should go watch the Blade movies on Netflix.
And
this
Vampire
week.
Vampire Pomeranians. Those are fun too.
Lord.
What else did you guys watch? What else did you watch this week?
Well, Picard.
Jeff. Yeah, Picard. Picard.
That was good. Androids bleed, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Well, With that, you got to go back to, there was an episode of Next Gen where Data's mom came on the Enterprise, and they find out she's a Sung android, but everything about her, like she could bleed, every reading, her body was programmed to fool scanners so that every reading said she was was actually human. And the transporter seemed to have no problem taking her apart and putting her back together again. But then they find out she's an android. So that was then. And then we go forward 30, 40 years, and this is what they've accomplished with it, which I thought was interesting. So that the golem that Picard is, was their latest invention. But yeah, so androids can bleed. I accepted it. I took it on as a thing.
Yeah.
Was
that really Alison Pill singing?
That was really Alison Pill singing, yes. Well, Jonathan Frakes confirmed that. That was really her singing.
I'm impressed. That was not bad.
I'm blown away by how good that was.
Yeah.
They actually got, it's rare in a TV series to get full rehearsal time. But basically she, Frakes, and I think the DP kind of hung around after they'd wrapped shooting one night, because she doesn't have to go get makeup taken off, you know. And they choreographed what they wanted to do with that whole sequence all the way down. And it's fully practical all the way to the bow. When she takes a bow, when she comes back up, the Borg Queen is holding her hand. That was all practical. That was all done in camera. So just really cool, really smart, really well done by Frakes. But yeah, fucking great singing. That shot of her at the end,
walking down the street.
Yeah, walking down the street and the music playing. I was like, "That's yeah, there's going to be trouble. I think Earth's about to get assimilated. At least LA is about to get assimilated.
It could use it.
Yeah, it could. It honestly could. Picard being Picard, his pep talk, that was really good.
It was very nice. It was a good pep talk.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell are you going to do with an 80-year-old actor in an action show? He's got to be the voice of wisdom. He's got to be the old man who walks up and says, "Here's what you need to do." And then you get that. So, yeah. Cuz like in the first season when he takes that hit in like the first episode,
in the explosion
and stuff, I was like, "Oh my God, what are you doing to this poor old man? Don't hurt him." So yeah, it's been one of those things where I'm like, what are we going to do with this guy? He's not exactly an action star, but at the same time he is. So yeah.
True.
Anything else?
That's all I've watched.
All right. Let's see. This week we had Picard. I already talked about Woke. Season 2 started this week. They dropped all the episodes. I'm just watching it one episode a night because it's not very many, and I kind of want to savor it. Woke, if you don't know, is Keith Knight, who is a cartoonist and political activist, but also fucking funny as hell. And one of my favorite, the first episode of season 2, you watch him. He's become the character of Keith, has become a political activist, and has got street cred as a political activist, but now he's dealing with political activism fatigue as he's going to this big protest. And it's like this, it's like a smorgasbord of protests as he walks down the street and every one of them wants him on working with him and on his side. And he's like, "I don't know what the fuck to do." And it was just so funny. So I'm like, yeah, I've been down that road being a lefty, you know, where everybody's got their cause and everybody thinks that their cause is more important than anybody else's cause.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So woke is really working again.
Where's that streaming?
Hulu.
Okay.
Hulu. If you saw, the Harvey Picard movie, can't remember what it was called, with Paul Giamatti. And Harvey Pekard is in it too. But yeah, that was, it's woke is a little like that. It's sort of like it's, but it's kind of portraying Keefe's life in a way, but not exactly how exactly as it happened. But it does take real life events that he's gone through, you know, things that he's actually spoken out against. So, and then taken things he's, you know, other things and amplified them for, you know, television. So that's kind of fun. But yeah, no, he's really, it's really funny. And then he's got a great ensemble cast that's just delightful. Although we are missing his girlfriend who was in iZombie before that. So their excuse is she went back to New Zealand because of COVID. And of course we all know New Zealanders don't get to go anywhere right now. Kung Fu, really good episode, kind of puts a middle on where we're at with the season, which is nice because we know more bad shit's about to happen. It was fun to watch that one. The Flash. Now we see the real problem Iris is having. I thought she was kind of a throwaway plot line, but it turns out she's got a big, much bigger plot line than they thought. And then this whole Cold Fire thing, possibly revealed at the end what it is, but at the same time, I think it might be lying. So we'll see what happens there. I also was able to watch all the rest of Peacemaker this week. And that is still that is one of the funniest damn shows ever.
Yep.
Love Peacemaker. Oh my God. And the little cameo at the end, speaking of our problem child, for Warner Brothers, he got that little cameo at the end. I thought that was fun.
It's not a rumor.
It's not a rumor. That was funny as hell. Everything about it was just delightful. One of these days I'll wax philosophically about the real Adrian Chase and how important he was to me at one point as a kid. And why I'm disappointed that Vigilante has never been, the Adrian Chase version of Vigilante has never been portrayed correctly in any of the cinematic or television properties. And, but at the same time, he was still funny as hell, and I could not fault them for letting him be this weird, goofy guy.
That scene in the jail.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, this kid's going to get his ass murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's fucking brilliant. Just
it was
fucking
so good.
Brilliant.
It was so good. You think he's just such a complete fuck up. And then he goes in that scene in the jail, and I'm like, if they portray this like the real Adrian Chase would have been portrayed, we're about to see something. And I was right. We got to see something. You know, we got to see a true badass, and I loved that. I loved that bit. God damn, that was just a great, I can't say enough about it, and I don't want to say too much because I'm sure there are people who haven't watched it yet. But HBO, right. HBO Max, worth watching. It's a follow-up to James Gunn's Suicide Squad. Clearly dropped into the cinematic universe based on the cameos at the end. Because that wasn't Grant Gustin talking. one thing that gave me hope was that Titans isn't part of that universe, so they could portray Adrian Chase the way I want him to be portrayed, which would be really cool at some point in the future. Then we had Moon Knight.
Oh my gosh!
Episode two, only episode two, and already so much has happened. Oh my God!
I know, it's huge.
I love the white suit and why the white suit happened. That was
you said
crazy
suit
as hell. Oh my God!
Nah, that was pretty fucking funny.
It was so funny. Like that poor guy. He's like, you said a suit.
You said a suit. This is, and he's like, I do look sharp in this.
I know. Oh heavens.
I don't know what else to say about that. It was just...
Everything's a spoiler.
Yeah.
It's true. It really is. It's a hard one to talk about.
I think Marlene has been officially replaced with this other character. The character Marlene from the comic books. I think they've They've just changed her name. But basically everything that I'm reading from that character, I don't know her. We haven't learned her full backstory yet, but I believe she was probably there with Mark when Khonshu granted him his blessing, if you will, or right. the curse. And the idea that that was Marlene originally, and she was the daughter of an archaeologist. So if, you know, based on what she knows and everything, I think that that was the case. I'm going to have a real hard time watching Steven learn that he's not real.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be sad.
Yeah.
Right.
When Steven learns he's a construct, that he's a disassociated identity, and that Mark Spector is the real whatever they call it in psychology terms, the prime or whatever. Hell, yeah. I've watched four seasons now of Doom Patrol where you have a disassociative disorder character in Jane, and I think they call her prime, they call her the girl, which is all the personalities are protecting the girl. And the girl never gets to come out, you know. It's all the other personalities come out instead. But yeah, this has been. And there's a theory that maybe one of the other personalities that we're kind of getting a hint of might be Jake Lockley, which is one of the third personalities swimming around inside of Spectre's head. So yeah, but I like that it's come from Stephen Grant's point of view, because that's really. That's going to be hard to watch. That's going to be hard because I've really started to like Stephen Grant. So.
I'm really enjoying F. Murray Abraham as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's
oh, yeah.
fucking nailing it. So.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And yeah, and I still can't believe I'm watching, what's his name, as the bad guy.
Oh, Ethan Hawke?
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, I still can't believe that. I'm like, this is not the work I've come to expect from Mr. Hawke. And it's just so good. And like I said, he's gone full Nick Nolte. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
he's given us the full Nolte, which I'm enjoying too. Yeah, he's just it's just so wonderfully twisted, and I'm loving every second of it.
Absolutely agreed.
And based on commercials I keep seeing, apparently everybody else is responding to it as well. So, because
right.
Disney Plus has pulled out commercials. I've seen them on, on Hulu, commercials mm-hmm. when I'm watching a show on Hulu. These commercials are coming on. They're like, audiences are enwrapped by this or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, we are. And you're talking about this like you can watch the whole thing now streaming. And I'm like, no, you can't. You can watch the first two episodes. Watch episode 3 on Wednesday when it comes out, because it's a weekly thing. It's destination television again. You goddamn got to watch it on Wednesday, or it's going to get spoiled before you can watch. If you try to catch up later,
right?
Yep.
It's a thing that I love and hate, to be honest.
Yeah, I like having a planned thing to do on a Wednesday, but at the same time, if I don't do it, I'm nervous the next day. Like
yeah.
I have to stay off Facebook. I have to stay off Twitter. I have to stay off CBR. Any news is going to have some kind of spoiler leaked in there. Not even intentionally. A lot of times they're very good about saying, is spoilers death going to be a problem? And, you know,
yeah, but usually the fucking headline editor is the one who ruins it.
Yeah.
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 True. True.
But even when they say that, it's like they'll usually drop something else in that I'm like, you just ruined the whole thing. You know. Anyway, that was what I have watched this week.
All right.
Let's do some moving picture news.
Moving picture news. Boy, do I have a sounder for you I wasn't ready for.
I am not a man who needs a legacy.
I think back on those days on the Enterprise and all that danger we rushed into.
Those were the days.
Evolution! revolution is not an act of preservation, it's addition.
It is clear, sacrifice is required again.
Jean-Luc, when the galaxy comes calling, you love it.
Aren't we a little overdue for a good old-fashioned road trip?
I promise you will not be alone.
Ready?
As ever.
So you got the whole list of coming down. Patrick Stewart, LeVar Burton, Michael Dorn, Johnny Frakes, Gates McFadden, Marina Sirtis, Brent Spiner.
Yep.
Will the Wheaton. Oh, wait a minute.
No Will Wheaton.
No Will Wheaton.
No, the Magnificent Seven, the original, the final crew, basically, of the Enterprise. We're talking all good things, basically, the final episode of Next Gen. All good things. Mm-hmm. This is it. The cast is back together. Actually, the age they were supposed to be portraying in All Good Things, 30 years ago. So yeah. Here we go. And this is going to be a lot of fun.
So Will Wheaton responds to Wesley Crusher not being in Picard season 3. Mm-hmm. He said, "I've been reading the internet, as you do. I see a lot of my fellow nerds are excited to see the TNG cast back together, as I am. I've also seen a lot of people, like way more than I ever would have imagined, expressing dismay that Wesley isn't a part of it. I share some of your sadness for my own reasons, but I choose to focus instead on how it's going to be to see my family back together again, how wonderful it's going to be to talk with them about it in the ready room." Is he pulling an Andrew Garfield?
I think he is.
Ooh, maybe.
I think they didn't put him in that main cast list, but I think he's going to be... He'll probably wind up in the episode.
He'll show up as a full-time traveler.
Yeah. Although if you go off of Nemesis, he had the cut scene from Nemesis. One of the cut scenes from Nemesis, he was he'd come back to Starfleet and was now an engineer on board a starship, the chief engineer on board a starship.
Yep.
I was now trying to pick up on the girls, which was kind of cute.
Yeah.
But the whole time I'm like, no, he left with the Traveler. He's like beyond powerful now. He shouldn't be just back in a Starfleet uniform.
He's a non-corporeal being.
Yeah.
Full of powers.
I want to see him show up as a Traveler and honestly be something that helps the crew at one point, you know, pushes them along. Kind of like when Riker and Troy were sort of that one episode help for Picard in season 1. You know, and then Riker's leading the fleet at the end of it. But I'd like to see something like that with Wesley. I'd also like to see Barclay come back. Nobody's shown us the body of Rolaren. There's quite a few characters I'd like to see come back at some point. So it's whether or not you can convince Michelle Forbes to put that nose back on again, because she...
Well, and this is it. If you don't show up in season 3, there's no more seasons.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah, they're wrapped after this. This is the end of Picard. 3 seasons and out.
Star Trek Lower Decks season 3 will be premiering this summer.
Yay!
Paramount Plus announced that Star Trek Lower Decks season 3 will air on the streaming service in May of 2022. And that season 4 already has an order.
That's
very exciting. That is very
some
exciting.
Of the best, man. This has been for a Star Trek fanatic. This little era here is definitely showing some of the best of Star Trek,
yeah,
by far, and some of the most diverse ways of showing Star Trek. You know, 2 animated series, both completely different from each other.
Yep.
3 different shows, all different from each other. One about to drop at some point. The way the trailers are, it better be like in May as well. And then, you know, all these other things that they're doing, it's just,
I've really enjoyed for Strange New Worlds the little character trailers they've been dropping.
Yeah.
Those have been really nice. and and made me think that that premiere was imminent as opposed to still another fucking month away.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating. Anyway, you want a taste? Here's a taste.
Captain Freeman, you're under arrest for the destruction of Paklet Planet.
Hey, let her go!
That is for a tribunal to decide.
You don't get it. She's your captain, but she's my mom. I have to do something before it's too late.
It would be illogical not to.
I don't care what trouble I get in.
Same.
I want the trouble. Give me the trouble.
All right, let's save the day Lower Deck style.
But we're grounded. Plus, we don't even know where the Cerritos is.
I know where the Cerritos is.
This is for the captain.
Stealing the Cerritos?
Whoa, these graphics are mind-blowing!
Not a lot to it. It was a well-done trailer in that it basically just needed to be audio.
Yep, just voices and then a quick shot of the Cerritos getting lit up inside of a space dock. Still skinless because they'd had to peel their whole skin off in the last episode to save, you know, the other ship. But, yeah, this was, they're going to steal the ship. That's what it sounds like to me. Like, yes,
it's the search for Spock.
Yep.
The Anansi boys cast Whoopi Goldberg in a major role. They've cast six actors as a pantheon of African gods, headlined by Whoopi Goldberg as the Bird Woman in the Prime Video series.
That's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Please let all of it happen and don't change out the showrunner halfway through because
Neil Gaiman is doing it and he has said that it is six episodes
and done.
Yeah. Wow. Somebody on Twitter was like, why should I watch this when American Gods got canceled on such a cliffhanger? And he said, because I'm doing it and it's Amazon, not Stars.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he's kind of angry at Stars.
And you're looking at, cause he was able to do,
Good Omens
in that amount of time. So, yeah.
Right.
And Anansi Boys is a self-contained story and just one of my favorites of his.
Oh, so, it's delightful. Yeah. It's a delightful book. Mm-hmm.
Gaiman added that when he first wrote the novel, he imagined Goldberg when he was writing Bird Woman. So there you go.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And the way she looks now, like they threw a photo of her up from The Stand. And I'm like, well, that's the Bird Woman right there. That's how I pictured her in my head. So, yeah, that's going to be cool. Time to reread Anansi Boys, that's for sure.
Yep. Hey, gang, that's it for the news.
All right, another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
Hi guys, my name's Gigi Edgley and I play Chiana on Farscape and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Enjoy. As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Hey gang, Jeff here. This segment of the program is brought to you by The Nerd Store. The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley, Utah, brings you everything you need to complete your geek. The airlock to Epic, The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall or nerdstoreutah.com.
We got a box!
What is it?
Oh, you'll see.
No! What's in the box?
Let's do some comic book news.
The Avengers are getting another fucking title. Yay! Let's see, we've got...
What's the current count on Avengers titles?
We got Avengers, we got Savage Avengers... We got Avengers Forever. And now we've got All Out Avengers.
Okay, that's not anywhere near the amount of Batman, Spider-Man, or X-Men titles.
It's still too many.
That's correct.
I agree.
We're going back to an Avengers renaissance because everybody got into Avengers fatigue to the point where I even dropped picking the book up every month. Because they just put out, they had put out at one point so many different Avengers books. I was buying so many different ones. And now we're going back into another Avengers Renaissance because we've already done this before. But All Out sounds like a lot of fun. But it does sound a little like Nonstop Spider-Man, which did not last. So
no, sadly.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
It's going to be Captain America, She-Hulk, some others.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all we have to go on is the poster. And CBR managed to do 800 words on a poster. So way to go, guys. Captain America, She-Hulk.
By the word.
We assume others. You know, we'll see. It'd be funny if it was just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah.
It'd be cool as,
All Out
as
means
an anthology.
We're all out of Avengers.
Yep. Well, it'd be cool as an anthology series where, like, solo Avengers used to be back in the 80s, where you basically have these stories revolving around members of the Avengers. But what was cool about solo Avengers is they could tackle the ones that didn't have their own book. Here, they're taking two characters that have their own books right now. So, yeah.
That's true. Kelly Thompson jumped onto the Twitter to tell everybody, thanks for all the Black Widow love. It's meant a lot. My whole team was incredible on this project, and we just loved it so much. But your guys' response to it was part of what helped us push our limits a bit. Heart. I missed Natasha already, but I hope we'll get a bit more. To which Gail Simone replied, you have been killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely killing it.
Cute, since it's a, you know, assassin.
Yeah.
It's an assassin. They kill things.
Yeah.
And people.
Yeah.
Assassins kill people.
Yeah.
Strangers of Paradise creator Terry Moore is offering his creator-owned library on the Humble Bundle for $35. That is a hell of a price for a fuck ton of content.
Yeah.
Strangers of Paradise ran from 93 to 2007, for Christ's sake. That's 14 years. Mm-hmm. That is a lot
and
of
then
books.
And then had titles, another Strangers in Paradise thing just a couple of years ago,
yep,
come back. Yeah.
The bundle will also include digital copies of Moore's 2021 sketchbook and his 25th anniversary sketchbook.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes Serial. I mean, this is the new stuff, too. So,
yeah,
pretty cool.
He did a lot of stuff, and all of it self-published. All of it by himself, published by himself. He releases the books himself. Yeah, he's completely, it's him and his wife. They basically do all the work to make this book happen. And it's incredible, you know, what he's able to do. Yeah.
Well, that's it for comic book news.
All right, what have you guys been reading this week? We'll start with Jess.
I tried to read a whole bunch because I had the week off, so I had time. Mm-hmm. I caught up on, you read this a couple weeks ago, Wolverine Patch Number 1.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a fun little comic book, wasn't it? Like a fun little 40s spy thriller. I got caught up on What's the Furthest Place from Here by reading issues 4 and 5. And I think I almost finally know what's going on in this comic book, which is pretty remarkable because we are 5 issues in. Now, to be fair to myself, not to everybody else, probably doesn't have the same problem that I do. But whenever I'm reading a story, and it can be a comic book or it can be a book, and we're jumping between characters, It takes me forever to figure out where we are, what's going on, who is who, and what is what. I was never able to read Game of Thrones because of the way George R.R. Martin jumps between characters. It just drives me bonkers. But I am enjoying What's the Furthest Place from Here. It's very dystopian. It's very intriguing. It's fun. It's just a good book. I got caught up on some Devil's Reign stuff. So Devil's Reign X-Men number 3. Emma Frost is pissed off. And pissed off. Emma Frost is not an Emma Frost I want to cross. Now, I've said it time and time again, I don't read the X-Men comics. I don't read the X-Men comics because the sheer number of titles and the sheer history of the X-Men overwhelms me. But little snippets of X-Men comics like this, little one-offs like this, I do enjoy. And I do enjoy Emma Frost. So it was a fun three. I think it's just a 3-book crossover, I think. I read Devil's Reign Moon Knight number 1 and was slightly underwhelmed by it, but It was fine. I mean, it was Moon Knight in prison doing mercenary shit in the prison. So that's kind of cool. And that one is a one of three as well. But I'm a little confused about that because I also read Devil's Reign number 6, which is the end book of the official Devil's Reign title. And oh my gosh, big changes coming to the entire MCU. It is looking like the Purple Man is gone. It is looking like Mike is dead. You guys know I hate Mike. I hate Mike with passion. Like, it does not. He got beat to a pulp, and I was like, meh, that's okay. He's imaginary. Matt's struggling with that, though. And then Fisk, like, he's like, I'm good. And he nopes out. Fisk is noped out. And Luke Cage is going to be the mayor of New York City now, you guys. So there you go. That is your catch up on Devil's Reign. It's, if you didn't read it, you need to read it. It was so good. There's actually a Devil's Reign Omega, I think, is the next one coming out. And it's going to launch. I don't know if it's launching the Daredevil series or where it's going, but that will be coming out shortly.
Well, it's setting the new status quo for New York for the next little while.
Right. What was
interesting is that in the past, they've had these big events like this, and the fallout from the events and the whole, this is going to change the MCU, lasts all of maybe 3 months before somebody rolls it back the way it always was.
Right.
What was interesting to me was Fisk becoming mayor of New York has lasted years.
Yeah.
You know, in publishing years, because it was just a subtle thing that a writer did. Well, of course, Fisk is going to run for mayor and become mayor. For such a subtle thing that they did. So I'm hoping that, at least with Zdarsky's book, that this stays a little longer, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like there's a new Luke Cage title being solicited. And so, I mean, I'm sure that this
I'll
will
believe
carry
it
over
when
to
I
Luke Cage.
See it. Yep.
I know. I will too. But, and then the last and final thing that I got read this week was Black Widow number 15, which, as we suspected, was the last of the series. It was a beautiful ending to that series. Kelly Thompson knocked this book out of the park for 15 issues. I want more? Yes. Yes, I do. I do want more, but I don't get it. And that's okay, too.
This has officially run, I think, 3 issues longer than the last couple have.
Yeah, I think it's the longest running Black Widow single title. So.
Yeah, I think so. Because she's never been able to sustain its title for as long as other heroes have been able to, other characters have been able to, which is sad because when you've got a good writer on it, the book works so well.
Oh yeah.
I admit,
great.
The last long series that made it 12 issues, I was sticking with it out of just sheer, I didn't want to pull it from my hold.
Sheer tenacity.
Yeah, it was just like it was indifference to whether or not it was in my hold or not. But the one that followed that, written by the two sisters, I read like the first issue. I was like, fuck this. No, I can't read this.
Right.
This is unintelligible. And it only lasted a few issues because of it. When Kelly got this and she started us out with this crazy storyline, you know, with the kid and the husband and all that. And ends it with issue 14, Natasha gets her arm cut off by the swords guy.
Yeah.
And then this issue picks up from that. I was like, holy shit, Kelly, you have knocked this one out of the park every single time. And this, even this, with Kelly Thompson writing it, it couldn't sustain. And I was like, I want more. I want more, but I can't have it. So
exactly.
I don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. You can be that guy.
The cover Bs should have been the cover As. It would have sold better.
Yeah,
but their cover A's were pretty fucking boring, and their cover B's were spectacular, but you get less cover B's.
Yep.
So Marvel has been with their variants lately. Their ratio variants, their expensive variants are some of the ugliest fucking things I have ever seen. It is infuriating, whereas you've got DC over on the side doing their variants, and they're gorgeous, each one better than the last. Especially like the one in 50s they've been doing, the foils done by Jacques are gorgeous. And then you get over to fucking DC and it's like, you know, my buddies who have a little bit of artistic talent, they draw better than these.
Yep.
You know?
Although this cover, This cover was pretty fucking sweet.
Yep.
And this was the A cover for Black Widow 15. So, yeah.
Yeah, but they... I don't know, man. Marvel's... They're just phoning it the fuck in right now, and it's driving me nuts. You remember there was a little kit where you would put little pieces of the... It was like fashion plates, but it was for superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what their 1 in 10 and 1 in 25s look like right now. That somebody just did that and stuck it on grid paper, and they're like, $25, please. Like, fuck you. Be nicer to Kelly Thompson, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's a friend of the show.
That's right.
I hope so.
So
that's
you,
what Jeff? I read.
Yep. What about you, Jeff?
Well, I read X-Men Red.
You did? I'm so proud.
I probably shouldn't have been high when I did it because I have no fucking idea what I read.
I don't think it would have mattered what your state of mind was.
Nah, dude, look, Jonathan Hickman, now he didn't write this, but Jonathan Hickman fucking ruined the X-Men, you know, and they just need a fast fucking reset to go back to a team in Charles' basement, you know, and let's build out the mythos again, because right now there are too many people in too many places doing too many things. And unless you're reading every fucking title, you are absolutely lost. Or if you're a little high when you do it. I was trying to treat a migraine last night. And I did. Overwhelmingly. Because I didn't get it. But then I read Batman Night of Vengeance. This fatty right here. It's basically the Thomas Wayne origin story. That happens after the flashpoint that gives us Rebirth. You know what happened there. It actually made me excited for Flashpoint Beyond. And I mean, the other thing that keeps me excited for Flashpoint Beyond is that it's not called the Flashpoint Crisis. But but still, I digress. It was pretty good. I liked that one. I got a few copies left, so pop into the store and grab some. But yeah, that one was good, and I understood it, and it was well written. I mean, it's Azzarello, so what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
He's good. So what about you?
For me this week, I've got a whole stack of, I wouldn't say a whole stack, but I've got a decent stack of books here that I can't read because I got to get the issue preceding them, and Marvel fucked up in sending those issues to my comic book shop, so I'm waiting for second printings on all of them.
Goddamn Marvel.
I did make the mistake of reading The Thing number 6, and I hadn't gotten number 5, and apparently that had big reveals at the end, and I didn't know them, and I was reading through this. I'm like, I don't remember them revealing that. Maybe I don't remember the book so well, and I got to the end, and I was like, I don't think I read number 5, and I went and looked on my spreadsheet, and I hadn't even marked that it was supposed to come in. It never even got onto Fresh Comics that I ever saw.
Huh.
So
yeah, that's right.
I was like,
huh.
Yeah, so I don't know what the fuck happened to Thing Part 5, but I need that one as well as Part 6. I got Part 6 though. And then of course, you know, I also picked up Iron Fist number 2, She-Hulk number 3, Moon Knight number 10, but all of them I gotta wait to read because I need the issue preceding them. But I did read Spider-Punk number 1. Cool cover. Cool idea for a character.
Uh-oh.
Why is punk rock? Why is punk, in this case, all put around punk rock and music to the point where it's rival bands fighting each other? Like, Kraven the Hunter has a band. And nobody ever pulls out a fucking instrument except for Hobie Brown, who beats people up with his guitar. It's like, it's all street fighting and everything, but it's all about bands and stuff. And I'm like, you know, the punk movement isn't just about music. Music is a big part of it, is what kind of organized it. But at the same time, there's a whole philosophy, and the anarchy philosophy that falls into that should be a part of this, that's not there. And that was kind of, that was really bothering me as I was reading it. So
can I,
don't know if I'll continue.
Can I go back to "You Lost Me at Craven the Hunter Has a Band"?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I dodged a bullet. That's what I did.
A Russian punk band, apparently, that never plays any music. They show up with blasters and are wiping out Hobie's territory. So he and his gang have to go fight them. Which includes Captain Anarchy, who dresses like Captain America, and a couple of other characters. I mean, this is an alternate universe. This is an alternate Earth. This is a other universe. But yeah, it was okay. But like I said, that was bothering me because I'm like, there's more to this than just, you know, everybody's in a band. Why is everybody in a band? That doesn't make any sense to me. And I think they'd always done that. And why they decided to keep that piece of continuity, I don't understand. So that bothered me. And then I'm about halfway through reading issue 2 of Wonder Woman Historia by Kelly Sue DeConnick.
How is that?
With art by Gene Ha. This is, oh my God, it is a gorgeous book. Very compelling story as to how Hippolyta became an Amazon. And effectively, what you're looking at is, if you were to take this from a Neil Gaiman perspective, the Furies are running around saving women and calling themselves the Amazons. And the Furies in Greek mythology were children of gods. You know, they were half gods. Demigods. They were, you know, they were, one was a god, but then the human was the mother or the father in this case. And these are all the female gods of the Greek pantheon who have had children, you know, these demigod children. And these women are going around protecting women, fighting for women. But all that's ever written about them in the history is how they would attack men and the men would be destroyed. The men would be, you know, consumed by them or something else would happen to them.
They had it coming.
Yeah. And yeah, the thing is,
I like it.
What I like is that Kelly Sue puts in there, nobody ever writes about the women that they saved.
Oh.
There's this beautiful moment where Hera has stayed out of this. It's all the other goddesses. Hera stayed out of it. And Athena comes to her and she says, you need to do this so we can have justice for women. And Hera said, there will not be justice for women. There will not be justice for women for 100 years. And then you get this big 2-page, beautifully done by Gene Ha spread montage with Hera in the middle of it saying there will not be justice for women for 1,000 years. And the montage shows all the struggles women have been through history, right up to a woman sitting in an abortion clinic, a modern day abortion clinic. And I was like, oh my God, Kelly, just yes. 1-2 punch. Thank you. That was beautiful.
Is 100 years after this, is that Bitch Planet?
Yeah, that'd be Bitch Planet.
Okay.
Yeah. Bitch Planet's pretty fucking close, yeah. But yeah, just a gorgeous, gorgeous book. I mean, it's Gene Ha. I'm so glad they pulled him in to do this because it's just beautiful work. Painted and just gorgeous. But yeah, I'll show you guys the 2-page spread there.
You know, in defense of the Furies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the dude told her to smile.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
You'd look prettier if you smiled, ladies.
You know that I have that tattoo, right?
Destroy.
Yep. No, she has the tattoo. She's got the NC tattoo, nonconforming.
I got my NC. Don't tell me to smile tattoo.
Don't tell me to smile, NC. That's right. No, this I've said it before that Bitch Planet was one of my big inspirations to write what I chose to write for Shaolin Nun. Kelly Sue DeConnick is a huge influence on me for this kind of stuff. And I'm going to say it wrong, but I'm going to try to say it. And I'm glad I can. But yeah, Kelly Sue, this book is just, this is everything I want from a Kelly Sue DeConnick book. And I wish she did more things. You know, she's so busy doing all this other stuff that I think she's so busy doing other things. She never actually gets anything out. And this
right.
is, This having this come out and having it done by these amazing artists is just fantastic. So yeah, I'm digging this Historia. the Amazons, how Hippolyta, a mortal, becomes an Amazon. And that's what we're looking at. And oh my God, just beautiful work. Absolutely beautiful. You could pick them up individually. I don't know if you can find them because I think they sell pretty quick, but you should be able to find some individual issues of it. I think even still at Dr. Volt's.
Oh yeah, I got some.
Yeah, one and two. You could probably pick up, and I know the trade will be about probably end of the year. If I think this is a four issue one, maybe a six issue one. And they're coming out about every other month or every 3 months.
It's coming out every three.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you look at Gene Haw's artwork on it, you're like, I could see what delayed this. This is beautiful. I mean, the letterer is probably like, I don't want to put my letters in here. I don't know where to put them. I don't want to cover anything up. This is so gorgeous.
Yeah, you want to do an overlay.
Yeah.
Put on the art, read your stuff, and then take it back away.
Yeah, it would be cool to have like a cellophane overlay of the letters. You pull it off just so you can see the art page because it's so beautiful. Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. Such a beautiful work. I can't sing its praises enough because it's everything I want from a Kelly Sue DeConnick book. I can't say that enough. So, yeah, I'm so glad she figured out her voice for all this. And it's an important voice to hear. But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow is Wednesday. So let's give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
What are we looking forward to this week? Joss, start us out.
Well, I can't. Just kidding. So this week coming out from Marvel is Elektra number 100. Absolutely, I'm going to pick that up because I'm a super Daredevil nerd and that's just who I am. Thank you very much. But it is talking. So Elektra has been many things, a pawn, a pariah, and even a provocateur. That is a word that I don't think I've ever spoken aloud.
Provocateur?
Yeah, provocateur. I read it a lot. But through it all, she has been one thing above others, the most dangerous human in the Marvel universe. Everything that has happened in her long and storied life has been leading to this, the 100th issue bearing her name and the starting point of what is to come. So if you are not me and you're not a giant Daredevil nerd and you have never looked at an Elektra comic book in your entire life, a new starting point sounds like a great place to start reading about a really awesome character.
Yeah. So this is, she can give up the Daredevil mantle, apparently, the one without fear mantle.
Yeah.
And go back to being Elektra Assassin, which was a huge series
right.
for a long time.
But that's the interesting thing is that I don't think Woman Without Fear is done yet. So
I don't think so. I think
she might have competing books going on for a minute.
I don't mind that. I don't either.
And then also from Marvel, I picked up issue one of this and I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But What If Miles Morales number 2, only because I enjoy What Ifs. Mm-hmm. Like, they just make me so happy for some reason. And when you're looking at a cute little Miles Morales, but he's got Wolverine's adamantium claws on the cover. Mm-hmm. I want to know what happens if he becomes the Wolverine.
What happens if Miles Morales was Wolverine? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is one of those potential things because he was a brand new character created by Brian Michael Bendis. He happened to become a Spider-Man, but what if he becomes something else? Yeah.
Right. Right. So,
I mean, it just depends. What about you, Jeff? Brian Michael Bendis have enchiladas one night or burritos? It depends on what his fever dream was fueled by. That's all. Since we're doing mainstream, picking up Thor Volume 5, the last of the complete series big fat books for the Jason Aaron run. Mm-hmm. I will complete my series because if there is one thing I love, it's Jason Aaron writing Thor. So I own them, even though I can't afford them. I keep doing that. And then something I can't afford, but that I really, really want to. So I will be pitching this one as a retailer, is the Gotham Central Omnibus. It's going to be, I believe it's $125. But it covers that whole run of Gotham Central, which was a really, really impressive little side story going on in the Batman universe there for a while. If you haven't read it and you have some money, this is a good way to read it. All collected, so you don't have to go chasing it around. Just like that.
Just like that.
Yeah. Just like that.
How about you, buddy?
For me, from Marvel, also Elektra number 100, I wanted to point out, Ann Nocenti is writing it. So she's kind of coming out of her semi-retirement to write this one. She was the seminal writer for Elektra for many years.
Right.
I also want to point out the cover by Dan Panosian. The only thing missing on this cover is after his signature on the head, on the gravestone behind her, it should read after Miller, because this looks like a Frank Miller drawing.
Oh,
and Frank
yeah.
Miller is the creator of Elektra and created this amazing character out of it before he went insane and became so anti-Muslim that you know, paranoid of anything Muslim. But yeah, this it, just seeing that cover, I was like, oh my God, that's Frank Miller. No, it's not. It's Dan Panosian. Wow.
Really? Yeah, cool. Frank Miller really is just a gibbering lunatic.
He's gone off the deep end, but
yeah,
I don't hold his early works against him. Yeah. Against that. So his early works were amazing. And then from DC, just cause I'm a sucker for it, Batman Urban Legends number 14, there will be a Batman teams up with the Question story. It looks like Vic Sage. So, yes, I will read that. I'm kind of hoping it's a one and done, but I doubt it will be. So,
yeah, they usually go three or four.
It may be a one and done for me if it's a really bad story, but in that first issue, in that first bit, but I'll see what
it's option
like.
Always exists.
Yep.
That is true.
But you do get a Birds of Prey story led by Lady Shiva and Katana. So that's also kind of a pickup for my Danny O'Neill love, as well as Vic Sage's Questions. So I want to see what they do with it. And if I like it, great. I'll keep buying it until the story's done. That's Batman Urban Legends. Independent books-wise, oh, man. Right out of Image, I've been waiting for this one. The next Reckless book by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, The Ghost in You. This one looks like Ethan's going to take a powder. He's out of town, so Anna has to do all the work. She's the little goth girl with the funny colored hair that's been helping him out, so she gets to do all the work on this one. But yeah, this looks really cool. I hope he just keeps writing Reckless books. These Reckless books have been amazing, and I hope they just keep doing them because they're so good. And then from Scout Comics, Vanity number 1. This is kind of a telling of the story of the Countess Elizabeth Bathory. And it's going to take from her childhood, her birth to her childhood, includes her first encounter with death and blood. And turns her into, you know, the Elizabeth Bathory, who would bathe in the blood of her enemies to stay young. Bathe in virgin's blood to stay young was her thing. It looks like it's got a writer and illustrator, probably, I looked, based on their names, they're Slavic, so they probably come from that region, from Romania. So, that looks like fun. I want to read this. Yeah, good horror book, good vampire book. Give me that. How about you, Jeff?
Well, from Fantagraphics comes Porn Basket. Now, don't get me wrong. We all know who I am and what I like.
Mm-hmm.
But this,
I saw that and thought of you instantly just by the title.
This is a hardcover book collecting 368 pages from Johnny Ryan's profane sketchbook, as
nice.
Seen on his Instagram account, Outlaw Scum Fudge.
uh,
But I've seen this one before, and this is just a newer edition, and it was super interesting. I mean, it was... I flipped through it a little bit. The customer that had special ordered it let me take a flip through, and I was like, wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It was really super interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's only $35. It's fat. It's hardcover. It's a really good price for it. And then Behemoth Comics has Dark Beach number one in a world that is slowly drifting away from the sun. A crime scene photographer living inside a dome-protected city keeps dreaming about its warm glow. But if the sun is as dangerous as the Corps of Engineers led everyone to believe, or will a murder rife with old sun mystery throw Gordo down a rabbit hole to find the truth? But it just looks interesting. I like it. So I'm going to pick that one up, I think. What about you, Jocelyn?
From Image Comics, this one's in my hold already, Raid number 4. I keep bringing it up because it's just so good. It is just so good. Honeysuckle is still trying to get to Denver, and the Rain of Nails is still causing trouble. So what do you do? What do you do? But it's really good. It's beautifully, beautifully drawn. It's a well-written story. I want this to come out more often because I want more right now on this one. And then also from Image Comics, I'm going to try and pick up a Town Called Terror number one, A Message from Home. Henry West is brutally kidnapped in the middle of the night while his wife Julie watches, terrified. Henry awakens to the reality of his whereabouts, but Julie, with no evidence of the phantom crime, is unable to get help to search for him. And I really want to know who kidnaps him with no evidence left behind. So,
by the
I'm
way,
gonna look for that one.
Rain number Rain.
Rain.
Written by Joe Hill, which is Steve King's kid, and Dave Boer. Who wrote
Killer Queens,
putting the sass in Assassin. We had him, and he wrote Encanto. We had him in the shop here a few months ago for a signing. He is a really nice fucking guy with an impeccable haircut.
Mm. Nice.
So make sure we tag him in our Twitter.
All right. We'll do it.
All right.
That's what I want to read this week. Plus my backlog of everything else I have to read.
Yeah, no shit. I got a stack I got to get to and a stack I got to wait for. So that'll be fun. But that is it for me this week. Anything else, kids?
Not a thing.
Nope, not for me.
Well, I invite you, dear listener, to head on over to thecomicbookpodcast.com and join our Patreon. Join our Legion of Patreon fan supporters who help keep this show running.
I think we're closer to a cadre.
We might be a fire team. I don't know if we're quite a cadre
yet.
We're
a squad. We're just a squad.
Are we a cabal? Can we be a cabal?
No, we don't have enough for a cabal.
I think we're a squad. We have a Patreon squad. We would like to make it a legion of Patreon fans. Just, you know, throw some support at us every month that helps keep this show going, keeps it free. And last week we talked about the 100 greatest comic books and graphic novels, but we only covered number 91 to 100. So this week we're going to take number 81 to 90 and talk about it, going in depth on each one, what we remember from them, how cool it is that they even made the list in this case, and why there's either so low or so high on the list at this point. I mean, when you think about it, we're in the 80s and we might complain something's that high on the list. you can also pick up t-shirts and other adornments for thyself on the Shop the Shows link. It'll take you to our retail store that you can buy t-shirts from both the World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast and The Left Show. And I will say, as I always do, until Kraven the Hunter has his own punk band, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.